Shabbat Shalom. The reflection today is going to be on our the prophetic reading of Ezekiel, because it's one of the most profound, both in Judaism and in Christianity. It's a critical one for the returning of our Lord, as far as the prophecies. It is at the very heart of the Hasidic movement for the coming of the Messiah, and it helps, I think, to really clarify, especially for us as Christians in this Advent season, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Because I remember as a child, and every now and then even as an adult, I ask myself a simple question: what is God doing? You know, why does he leave? Okay, we have the resurrection. Why did you need to leave? It was kind of like done. Excuse me. Why are we waiting for 2,000 years? You know, what's going on here? There seems to be, you know, I think something within our Christianity a little missing. And this is one of the key points, not only for the Jews' criticism and doubts about the validity of Christ being the Messiah. Hey, he was supposed to bring peace. Where's the peace? We don't have peace. Where's the shalom? We don't have peace. The Prince of Peace we proclaim on Christmas. Even John the Baptist, while he's in prison, questions the Messiah. Now wait a minute. And he heard the Father and saw the Holy Spirit proclaiming that Christ is the one. And yet he asked him, are you the one or should we expect another? And remember, Christ's response is, look at the gospel. Look at the gospel that I'm giving. And John goes, okay, great, you got the gospel. Where's the law? Where's the judgment? Where's the punishment of sinners? Why aren't you balancing things out? Okay, you're doing all these good things, but what about all the other things? We're not moving to the finish here. The Romans are still here. Nothing much is happening. What's going on? Elijah had the same problem when he came to the Lord. He goes, Lord, what are you doing? You're not worth much, because in spite of all the miracles we're doing, nothing much is happening. We're still in the same place we were before. And, you know, then this really pertains, I think, to our individual lives, in the sense that we seem to struggle and we don't seem to be getting anywhere. Things don't seem to really be changing. They may get a little bit better or a little bit worse, but there's no real change. We're kind of treading water, and we get this feeling that someone's, you know, pulled the plug on the pool, and it's not safe to be treading water. The idea is to get out, and we can't get out. And so how long can we tread water as the suction becomes more and more? Our prophet Ezekiel gives us an interesting picture. And with the two sticks, it is extremely critically important for Judaism and for us as Christians. Now, what I'm going to share with you is something that you probably have not heard. We as Christians spend almost no time looking at this. Most of the prophetic works that are done almost completely ignore this within the Christian church. And yet, it is at the very center of conservative Judaism. The two sticks. One stick represents the northern kingdom. And the other stick represents the southern kingdom in the division of the Holy Land between the north and the south. And he puts these sticks together, and you can see the symbolism of Christ, true God and true man, as these sticks come together and are made one. And Ezekiel is not talking about a repairing of the house of Israel. He's talking about a new creation of the house of Israel, a whole new Israel, what we would say a new heaven and a new earth. It's not the repairing, it's not the Israel that even existed under Solomon. It's a whole new creation. And that takes us to baptism. out of the waters. Remember, the story of creation starts from the waters of chaos. And so it's a whole new creation that he's talking about here. Now, the terms that he uses for these two sticks is the son of Joseph and the son of David. The northern kingdom, the ten tribes, are referred to as the son of Joseph, because that's where Joseph's two children go, to the northern part, geographically. And the southern part is Judah, the son of David. All right? So here, Ezekiel is saying that there are you prepared for this? There are two messiahs. Two messiahs. The first messiah is the son of Joseph. The second messiah is the son of David. Now the son of, and these two messiahs will be joined into one. First, the first messiah that will appear is not the son of David, but the son of Joseph. Now, that takes us to our Torah reading today and last week. The son of Joseph is, or Joseph is what? What is Joseph? Remember, Joseph is not only in Genesis, but I think in the entire Bible, the one who's the closest to Christ. If you want to know who Christ is, Joseph tells you the entire story. Remember, we were talking about that. What does Joseph do? Joseph administrates. He's an administrator. He's a political administrator that administrates the kingdom of Egypt. So the first Messiah will be an administrator that establishes and builds the house of Israel. Beginning to see? From a Jewish point of view, this is what they're waiting for. From a Christian point of view, what is that house? The son of Joseph. There's no accident that Mary is the mother of Jesus, but who is the adopted father?
Joseph.
Why Joseph? It could have been a million other names, right? Why Joseph? It's because it goes to the prophecy of Ezekiel. What did the son of Joseph do? He establishes a new kingdom. What did John the Baptist say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. What did Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. Yea, it's already among you. So what did the son of Joseph do? He established the kingdom of God, which we as Gentiles and Christians would say is the church. The gospel. Word and sacrament ministry. The gathering of his people. We no longer belong to this world. We're no longer part of this kingdom. We belong to God. And he finished that work on the cross. We begin to see the son of David, who administers. He doesn't establish the kingdom, but he administers as king that kingdom. We begin to see that in the resurrection and ascension. And what do we say in the creeds? And he sits at the right hand of the Father. He sits on the throne. And what does he do? He intercedes for us. He is now administrating that kingdom. Am I making sense here to you? So we actually have two messiahs. We have two Jesuses. One that's very human, and one that really we see the divine nature in, which is the house of David. And this is the and these two will come together and become one, and Israel becomes one through this. So outside of, if you are outside of or not in union with the son of David and the son of Joseph, you are not in Israel. You're not part of the kingdom. this is one of the reasons why the ascetics are so, because it's a real shift from their beginning. They were not that conservative in that sense. They were actually charismatic and quite liberal. Now they're ultra-conservative. And the reason is because they must learn to be administrators to support the son of Joseph to build the kingdom and to drive out the goyim from Israel, or to have them as servants or slaves. Also, it's interesting, he makes one fascinating comment on the side. He says that not one Jew will remain outside of Israel when the Messiah comes. Shabbat Shalom.